We're back on the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Tyler Dragon, Charlie Goldsmith, and I'm going to be honest with everyone. We are recording this on Thanksgiving night. We had a couple NFL games. We're full from our food, and we're here to record because Bengals season's still on.
Yeah, the NFL season is still on. I hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving and spent time with their family, friends, loved ones, safely, I might add, but I hope everyone had a good and satisfying Thanksgiving and hope everyone's thankful for life, health, and hopefully happiness too. So how was your two Thanksgivings?
It was good. just historically, I've never been a huge NFL watcher on Thanksgiving. It's always one of my favorite college basketball days of the year. And historically, it's not a great NFL day. As much as I would have loved to have been riveted by the Lions-Texans game and the Washington football team's win over Dallas, I was paying closer attention to some of the great hoops going on during the day.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad football day. And Charlie, you made a good point. These games weren't good today. And you're probably going to get that when you have the matchups we had. But honestly, it was a bad day for the NFL. And it's unfortunate because we were supposed to get Ravens and Steelers tonight. And there's a whole lot of drama going on in Baltimore right now. And reports are, as we're recording this, that Lamar Jackson might have tested positive for COVID. So to be determined if we even see the Ravens and Steelers coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think that game is going to happen on Sunday. Lamar Jackson did, in fact, test positive for coronavirus and a few more as well. So that game on Sunday that was already postponed, we were supposed to be watching it around this time right now. But, you know, I would be surprised if they play that game on Sunday. It is an that game is in serious jeopardy right now, so it's probably going to be postponed a second time, unfortunately. But, you know, that's just a microcosm of where we are at as a country. We're still in this pandemic, but we just hope everybody continues to try to be safe and practice social distancing and just be mindful, be healthy, and wear a mask, too.
Yeah, and speaking of quarterbacks right there, we'll go to with Cincinnati. Everyone kind of thought maybe Ryan Finley would get his second, well, not even second start, his first start of 2020 with Joe Burrow being out for the season. But we talked to Zach Taylor. He's not hitting who the quarterback's going to be, but I have a feeling it's not going to be Ryan Finley this weekend.
Yeah, you know, Zach is being real discreet and being real mum about who's going to start, and I can't blame him. But multiple sources have told me that the quarterback this weekend versus the New York Giants is going to be Brandon Allen. And the reason being he has more experience in a Zach Taylor's system. He spent 2 years with the Los Angeles Rams while Zach was an assistant coach under Sean McVay. And, you know, the Bengals like his experience and they believe he has a better grasp of the offense. So I do fully expect Brandon Allen to be out there Sunday at 1 p.m. when the team takes on the New York Football Giants. It's a situation I'm sure Bengals fans aren't excited about. NFL fans as a whole probably aren't excited about, but you know, that's the cards the Bengals have been dealt with due to Joe Burrow's season ending left knee injury. So expect Brandon Allen to be out there. At this point, I would be shocked if Ryan Finley, if they, you know, reversed course and went with Ryan Finley. So yeah, Brandon Allen by all means and what I'm hearing is going to be starting. And when I watched practice on Wednesday, it definitely looked like he's going to be the starting quarterback this weekend versus the Giants.
Guys, I have a lot of questions. A lot of questions. Let's go back to Sunday when we heard from Ryan Finley after the game, and he spoke with full certainty that he was the guy going forward. Let's look at Monday when we heard from Tyler Boyd, who as much as he could, praised and showed that he was behind Ryan Finley as the Bengals quarterback. I don't know what has changed since the offseason, where the Cincinnati Bengals had every opportunity to sign a more experienced backup and waited until the last possible moments, basically at the start of August and the start of training camp, to sign Brandon Allen. So now let's talk about Brandon Allen, who nobody signed at all during the summer, who the Bengals, if Zach Taylor and the coaching staff felt strongly about him as a potential third option over Jake Dolagala, they could have brought him in sooner if they had that much confidence in him heading into the season. And then lastly, it's not like Brandon Allen is someone with 5, 6, 7 years of experience in Zach Taylor's offense. If you count the months of when that quarterback has been in the system, working with Zach Taylor, Ryan Finley has worked with Zach Taylor for almost the exact same amount of time as Brandon Allen has worked with Zach Taylor. Finley has an extra offseason because Allen didn't get a full offseason with the Bengals this year. And Finley had the advantage of being, you know, the scout team quarterback all season, something that Allen didn't have. You'd think that by this point, Finley would be the one with more experience in the offense. Statistically, it kind of is that way. But clearly the Bengals were confident in making a judgment after what they've seen out of Finley last season. But I think what especially was impactful was how he looked on Sunday.
Yeah, it is. You know, interesting that they are going with Brandon Allen by what I'm hearing. And, you know, Ryan Finley really hasn't given them a lot to be confident moving forward with him. You know, he 3 underwhelming games last year. And then, you know, in Washington, you know, he had 5 drives that after in the second half. And, you know, those 5 drives, he really did not yield any confidence. The offense never crossed the 50-yard line, and he finished the game with a 0.0 passer rating. That's very difficult to do for an NFL quarterback. That's awful. And, you know, his career passer rating, I know it's a small sample size, but it's 55.5. That is awful. So, you know, he does have, you know, 2 years with the Bengals. You know, this is his second season. But, you know, Brandon Allen does have a little bit more experience. And I get the decision. You know, it is an interesting one. We'll see how it all plays out. Brandon Allen has won 1 NFL game in his 3 starts. So that's something he has on Ryan Finley. He 4 years in the NFL in practices, taking, you know, reps with scout teams and 2nd and 3rd team reps, you know, that does help you. And he does have, you know, a little bit under his belt more than Ryan Finley, but make no doubt about it, the Bengals quarterback situation is not good at all. It is not good at all. And that's why, you know, we'll probably talk about it later in the podcast, but I'm pretty sure none of us are picking Cincinnati in this week's game.
Yeah.
One more thing on Brandon Allen is I went through his sports reference page and then the NFL Next Gen stats to try to get some sense of what a Brandon Allen led offense looks like. And it was just radically different styles of play in every week. His first week, his win, he completed 12 passes out of 20 attempts. The next week, he threw 40 passes and had about a 40% completion percentage. The week after that, he was 10 for 25. And looking at the NFL Next Gen stat stuff, 1 week he was, you know, just shooting down the field at will, going past the first down yard mark more than almost any other quarterback in the NFL. And then the next week, he was throwing shorter passes than every other quarterback in the NFL. So there is no baseline, track record even to predict what kind of Brandon Allen we're going to see on Sunday.
Here's the thing. They have 6 games left. And whether fans want them to win these games, because I know a lot of people want them to tank, so they pick number three and they get a better draft pick and they fix the offensive line. Well, the offensive line needs to get fixed. Everyone knows the guard position needs to be better. But going back to the quarterback room right now, I think you watched Ryan Finley in the second half, but you guys bring up great questions. I mean, they had the whole offseason. They had all the time leading up to this to make sure they had the right guy as a backup quarterback, because anything can happen in the NFL. And again, the other teams don't feel sorry for you if your starter's out. You still got to go out there and play. You look around the NFL right now, there are backups starting right now. I think, and I truly believe, and we hear it from Zach Taylor, they're going with the guy they feel will give them the best chance to win, because that group in the locker room, they still got jobs to do. They still want to win. And we talk a lot about culture and what they're building, and they know they are judged on wins and losses. So I think they're going to give Allen a try because of what they saw in the game in the second half. But to say that was their first time, I mean, it wasn't even their first time to see it. So I do think the question should arise, why was Ryan Finley the backup still? You knew what you had from him last year when you benched Andy Dalton. And then Andy Dalton got the starting quarterback job again. And now they're going with Brandon Allen. So, look, it's going to be a long 6 weeks, you guys. It's going to be a long 6 weeks of Bengals football. And it's unfortunate. And, you know, we've talked enough about the Joe Burrow situation, how unfortunate that is. And again, we'll give you updates when we know them. But I think they, you know, they still want to win football games. And I don't know how many they're going to win with Brandon Allen. I don't think they're going to win too many with Ryan Finley. So the quarterback situation becomes interesting because, again, we're not doctors. We don't know what Joe Burrow's knee really looks like. We can talk to the doctors. We can hear from insiders, and they're going to tell you what everything, what's going on, what they're hearing. We really don't know. We'll know it when Joe Burrow is back, when he's rehabbing, when surgery's over. But that backup quarterback position just got extremely important for the Cincinnati Bengals, because it's going into the offseason. It's going into, we don't know if Joe Burrow's back week one, week two, or three. You better have a starter out there, because you don't want to start 0-3 again, especially if you're the same coach. If you're Zach Taylor going into your third year in Cincinnati, you don't want to start 0-3, because again, other teams don't feel sorry for you because your starting quarterback is out right now, and they got to really take a deep look in the backup quarterback situation. And other teams aren't just going to hand you one, but you got to find someone. And these six games are where you evaluate it. And then you go into the offseason, because that guy is going to be extremely important while you wait to see when Joe Burrow is going to be back in 2021.
Yeah. The Bengals need a veteran backup quarterback. And I'm talking about with more experience than Brandon Allen. You know, I don't want to, you know, say this and be a Monday morning quarterback, but they could have kept Andy Dalton. They would have had to, you know, restructure his contract. You know, hindsight's 2020 now, but, you know, they definitely had a chance to keep Andy Dalton if, you know, he was willing to restructure his deal. But, you know, nobody expected Joe Burrow to go down to a season-ending injury. And, you know, if there is a silver lining, it is later on in the season, and we do expect him to make a full recovery after that 9 to 12 months, and that puts him, you know, probably full go at some part in the beginning of the 2021 season. We don't know that for sure yet. But if he does miss some regular season games, I'm not predicting that. I'm not saying any news, just speculating. But if he does, then you would like to have, you know, a veteran quarterback who has more than three games under his belt. Hopefully you have a quarterback maybe with 8 years experience, you know, and there are going to be some free agent quarterbacks here in 2021. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Bengals go ahead and look that way. You don't want to draft a quarterback, obviously, in the later rounds to start. But, you know, you think about maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's probably going to be a free agent. Tyrod Taylor. A.J. McCarron, who played in Cincinnati. So, you know, you have some veteran quarterbacks that you can bring back. And I know those names don't, you know, excite anybody, but you know, they could maybe hold the fort down until Joe Burrow comes back from his knee injury, if he is going to miss a few regular season games rehabilitating his left knee injury.
I want to go to the Andy Dalton situation really fast, because I know you just mentioned Andy Dalton and they could have brought him back. I actually disagree with that, because of course we've talked about the contract. They weren't going to bring him back to make what he was planning on making under his contract. They would have to restructure it. I think that was more of a thank you for everything you've done for us, Andy Dalton. We're going to let you get a fresh start somewhere else. I mean, Andy handled that as professional as he could during that situation, when he pretty much knew this whole entire city and fan base was counting down to when they were getting the number one draft pick and getting Joe Burrow. He knew he was probably going to leave. So I think the organization right there kind of just did a, hey, here's a fresh start for you. We're going to release you and you can go pick the team you want to go play for. So I kind of get that. And I know you have to think as a business and you got to have the right backup in there, but I think that was more of like, they both needed to move on.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, I agree with you. I'm just saying they could have maybe approached him about restructuring his contract, but yeah. You know, when they benched him during the regular season last year, I thought that was a prime time to trade him.
Oh yeah.
That was when they could have had the most, they did have the most value. They lost their leverage, you know, by holding on to them as long as they did. And that's why they ultimately just released him and he got picked up by Dallas. But they could have collected, you know, some assets for him. But, you know, that's the decision they made. I disagree with how they let him go. I think they should have traded him at the deadline. But yeah, like you said, you know, both sides needed to, you know, go their separate ways. But the Bengals did have the option to keep him. I remember specifically they were saying, well, Andy Dalton's still under contract with us. And, you know, we're not thinking about that right now. That's what they said publicly, but you knew behind closed doors they were thinking a different way. But, you know, getting him a fresh start was the right move. Now it's just the Bengals. Their quarterback situation is now one of the worst in the National Football League.
And let's look back at what the Bengals front office has done over the past 10 years. Before Ryan Finley, they had never really invested in a backup quarterback. In 2011, it was Bruce Gronkowski. Later on, Andy Dalton's primary backup quarterback during his tenure with Cincinnati was A.J. McCarron, who was a low-level draft pick. Later on, it was guys like Jeff Driscoll. Logan Woodside was a seventh-round pick that they got 1 year. And then when they draft Ryan Finley in the fourth round, that's a departure from the resources that they had typically allotted to that position. And now when you get to a point where that significant move you make for a backup quarterback not lead to a situation where you can just plug and play Finley right now, that hurts. That hurts from an organizational team building perspective.
Yeah, you guys, like I said, it's going to be a long 6 weeks. It's going to be interesting. And the way it's going right now, this team is picking third in the 2021 draft. To be determined on the quarterback situation, we will know in a couple of days when it becomes official that more than likely Brandon Allen will get the start at quarterback and Ryan Finley is his backup. I actually want to go forward now because, again, New York Football Giants coming to town, the Cincinnati Bengals are looking to get in the win column. And I'm going to tell you right now, look, the defense looked a little better against Washington, but I'm taking the L. I think the Giants are pretty semi-healthy right now, and it's crazy to say, but the NFC East race is still on. The Washington football team, after that one against the Cowboys, are sitting at number one, and Giants are still fighting, and they're getting better. They're looking okay. Daniel Jones is looking okay when he's not turning the ball over. I'm gonna go 28-13, New York football Giants this coming Sunday. What do you guys think is going to happen?
Charlie, I'll let you go first because I have a question after I answer mine.
Bengals could not score last year in games that Andy Dalton didn't start. And the difference was last year in the games that Finley started, they mostly became a run-first team that featured Joe Mixon. They tried to make that their offense. Now Joe Mixon's not here. Giovanni Bernard even has been limited in practice this week. It's hard to see the Bengals finding much of an offensive identity with Brandon Allen as their quarterback. So I have them scoring 9 points. I have the defense performing well again and allowing 20 points, but That's a 20-9 win for the New York Football Giants.
So New York is not a good football team. They, even though they're in the thick of things in the NFC East, they lost their best overall player in Saquon Barkley in week 2 to an ACL injury. Their offense is 30th in the league. They have a tough time scoring points. Their defense is not all that good. You know, they have played a little bit better as of late. You know, I believe they won 3 of their last 5 games. But, you know, it's tough because these are 2 sub-mediocre football teams, especially when they're without, you know, Saquon's the Giants' best player. And Joe Burrow, you can make a valid argument that he's the Bengals' best player. But overall, I do think the Giants are a little bit better football team, just because Bengals are without both of their Joes on offense. And the defense is pretty much their best unit, and the defense isn't all that good either. So I have it being a low-scoring game, and I actually have the Giants winning 16-12.
Wow. What a game this time of season. New York Football Giants and the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, here's my hot take. I feel like one of the Bengals' touchdowns, which I think the rest will be field goals, I think will be a Jesse Bates pick 6.
A Jesse Bates pick 6. Well, that might be their best offense.
That's
Jesse
where Bates. We're going right now, because that's what I'm thinking. You know what? You know what will happen? It'll be an instant classic at Paul Brown Stadium or something like that, something crazy. But no, I honestly, guys, it's going to be a bad football game.
Well, that is, you know, you promoted my 3 keys, because that is one of my keys is the defense has to be aggressive and create turnovers. And Jesse Bates said the defense has to pick up their level of play with the offense, you know, being hobbled and decimated by injuries. So, yeah, if the defense can create turnovers and force Daniel Jones in bad situations, then the Bengals have a chance, because, you know, they have to pick up the slack for the shorthanded offense. And that's one of the only ways the Bengals can win not only this football game, but the remaining ones as well, is the defense has to play much better than, you know, they played. And, you know, they did play pretty well in Washington, as you previously said, but they were shell-shocked once Joe Burrow went down in the 3rd quarter. You know, the whole team, you know, you can just see they were deflated there. And, you know, they can't do that anymore, because now reality has set in. Joe Burrow's not walking through that door. So they have to be able to, you know, rise up to the challenge. And it's going to be a challenge these next 6 weeks. And so that leads me to my question that I will ask you two. Bengals have 6 games left in the regular season. We all pretty much know that the playoffs are out of the question. But
sure. You sure about that, Tyler? They're
not eliminated. Come on. Hey, if they were in NFC East, they would be in contention. The last 6 games, how many will the Bengals win?
I just can't. I can't put them in the win column. I really can't, because you look at who they're playing. And if they have Joe Burrow, like you mentioned, I'll say right here, Joe Burrow is their best player. When Joe Burrow played bad, he had 2 bad games, and it was against the Ravens and the Steelers. That's when the Bengals, they weren't even close in those games. Joe Burrow was the reason they were close in a lot of games. And I think if you watched the first half against the Washington football team, you felt – sometimes you just know when a team's going to win a football game. And I felt that they were going to win that day. I was like, they're just rolling. Like, they really seem to kind of – they're gelling out there. The defense is really stepping up. They can't score in the red zone right now, but they were going against a really good red zone defense. I just felt like that was going to be kind of their role, and they were going to take what they should against the NFC East teams who they were going to be playing. I still know they had, you know, a tough schedule. The Dolphins were playing better, and then you had Baltimore and you had the Steelers again. I just don't have any confidence in this team without Joe Burrow. I think, and yes, Jesse Bates is playing like the best safety right now in the NFL, but he can't do it all out there on defense. So I'm a goose egg. I'm a goose egg for the rest of the games.
If what I'm about to say is wrong, then it'll be because Brandon Allen is a better quarterback than we thought. There's a chance. But what we know right now is that the four of the best five players on the Cincinnati Bengals are Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, and T. Higgins. Burrow is out. Mixon is out. And then Boyd and Higgins, you need a guy like Burrow to unlock some of what they do best. I think it is almost certain that their production won't be as consistent without a quarterback like Joe Burrow. I think that's just life. That's the importance of the quarterback position. So that takes away the four of the five most important players on the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that any team in that situation doesn't have a lot going for it. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm not sure what the Bengals' offensive identity right now is. I'm not sure they're going to win another game, so I'll agree with Lindsay.
I want to go what you said with T. Higgins, because he's actually someone that I thought about ever since Joe Burrow went down. T. Higgins is playing, if you like the PFF numbers, he's playing like a top 10 receiver. And I know he was the second pick, and he was the first pick in the second round. But he almost feels like a steal the way he's really gotten it going. And that's credit to Joe Burrow, too. And it's unfortunate because it felt like when Joe Burrow went down, T. Higgins' season wasn't gonna, his great rookie year run wasn't gonna be the same. I mean, it's just not gonna be the same. It's not coming from Joe Burrow, that chemistry, that connection. You could say the same thing for Tyler Boyd. So when you mentioned that, that's another play that I thought about this week. That's really, it's just not gonna be the same for him in his rookie year either.
Well, you know, I'll be the optimistic person here now. Even though T. Higgins is without Joe Burrow, if T. Higgins did not even play another down this season, his rookie year is still a success. I mean, in 10 games, he's second on the team in receptions and passing, receiving yards. And he leads the team in receiving touchdowns as well. So, you know, having 43 receptions in your first year as a pro, that's really good. And even Joe Burrow, his rookie year is a success too. You know, he leading all rookies in pass attempts, leads the NFL in pass attempts and completions, 13 touchdown passes, just five picks. I believe a, what, an 89 passer rating. So his rookie year, you know, he was on pace to break the Andrew Luck's single season rookie passing record. Obviously, he's not going to do that anymore. But, you know, he left Cincinnati fans a lot of reason to be optimistic. And so the Bengals, I can say that they did a good job with their 2020 draft class, with the season still has with six games remaining. Every one of the Bengals' seven draft picks have played this year. And, you know, most of them have been extremely productive, headlined by obviously Joe Burrow and T. Higgins.
Plenty on Cincinnati.com. And I know Tyler mentioned he had his three keys up there. Actually just did an interview. We're talking about the doctors. I know everybody wants Joe Burrow updates at the moment. No timetable for surgery. We talked to Zach Taylor twice this week. If you want some optimism, go listen to the interview with Dr. David Chow, your pro football talk, a pro football doctor that has had experience with past quarterbacks, including Philip Rivers, who had ACL injuries. So go check that out. And he'll give you a little bit of a timeline of when he thinks quarterback Joe Burrow will be back on the field in 2021. What else is up there, guys?
Yeah, Von Bell and Jesse Bates, they both said this week that, you know, the Bengals have to rise up to the challenge. Bates said that, you know, it's going to be up to the defense to, you know, lead the team now with Joe Burrow out. And so I have a story on how the defense needs to step up if the Bengals want to finish this season on a high note and with more wins than last year. You know, they've been stuck on two wins. They haven't won a road game since 2018. You know, so it's, if the Bengals are going to win any more games this year, it's going to be up to their defense, because the offense, we all know, not breaking any news, is shorthanded. And, you know, pressure is going to be on Zach Taylor too. He's 4-21-1 right now as a head coach with the Bengals. That's a .173 winning percentage. So I have a story on that. And like you just said, three keys is going to be up too. So keep it locked on Cincinnati.com, especially with all the Joe Burrow coverage too. We have a lot of great coverage, wall-to-wall coverage on Joe Burrow. And any updates that I get or anybody else gets, we will make sure that you fans are up to date.
I will have a story up on the end of the week on the curious case of Ryan Finley and what exactly has happened there over the last 16 months. All sorts of other coverage there as well on Cincinnati.com with UC basketball and other stories heading into this Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving week.
I like the UC basketball plug.
Always trying to promote the work, Tyler.
It's hoop season. And again, we still have the NFL 6 weeks to go. Make sure you're following along Cincinnati.com, over on Twitter, E&Q Sports, E&Q Bengals. And again, we're recording this on Thanksgiving night, so I'm going to be a little corny here. Thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat podcast. Thank you for reading. Thank you for watching. And make sure you're listening all season long and this offseason, because we're going to have plenty on quarterback Joe Burrow when he gets back to the football field. Thanks for listening to the Bengals Beat podcast.